The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Welcome and good morning to all those who are joining us in person and all those who are joining us online. Welcome. It is good that we are here and together in this, the third Sunday of Lent, we will experience God in word and in sacrament and in the presence and love of each other. So let us prepare today and journey together. Let us begin with the words as printed on our bulletin. Return to the Lord your God.
For God is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love.
Please stand as you are able, and if you are not able, know that the church stands with and for you. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, who journeys with us these 40 days and sustains us with the gift of grace.
Amen.
Let us acknowledge before God and one another our need for repentance and for God's mercy. Holy God,
we confess to you our faults and failings. Too often we neglect and do not trust your holy word. We take for ourselves instead of giving to others. We spoil rather than steward your creation. We cause hurt when you call us to heal. We choose fear over compassion. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us as we seek to follow in your way of life. Amen.
Hear the good news. God so loved the world that God gave the only Son, so that all may receive life. This promise is for you. God embraces you with divine mercy, forgives you in Christ's name, and revives you with the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Thank you.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Merciful God, the fountain of living water, you quench our thirst and wash away our sin.
Give us this water always. Bring us to drink from the well that flows with the beauty of your truth. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God,
and now I'd like to invite the children to come forward for a children's sermon. How's everyone today? Question for you. Imagine you're out in the hot sun and you're playing soccer for an hour and you become thirsty. What do? You get water, and water comes in all kinds of things, right? It can come in a big bottle with ferret stickers on it, or it can come in a little bottle. It can come out of a drinking fountain. But we take water when we're thirsty, right? And how much water do you drink when you're thirsty?
A lot.
And you drink until you're not thirsty anymore. Our text today is about water and why we need water. And I want to ask you guys another question. I'm going to put my water bottles down right there. If we take water when we're thirsty, how might we use water when we want to think about God or remember that God loves us? Yeah, we can remember that water is a baptism. So come over here, people. Come on. Journey with me. We use water when we're thirsty. When we want to remember that God loves us, we get sprinkles of water everywhere. Come touch the water. And when you touch it, remember the words, God loves me. Yeah. Still a traumatic memory for Will Charles. Anyone else? Anyone else want to touch the water? So water reminds us God's love, like a kiss, like a hug. This tells us that God loves us. So let us pray. Count of three, we'll bring our hands together. One, two, three. Repeat after me. Dear God.
Dear God.
Thank you for loving us.
Thank you for loving us.
Thank you for water.
Thank you for water.
Thank you for Jesus.
Thank you for Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
You guys are now dismissed to Sunday school.
Beside the still water.
Today is from the book of Exodus, chapter 17, starting with verse 1. From the wilderness of Sin, the whole congregation of the Israelites journeyed by stages, as the Lord commanded. They camped at Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. The people quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." Moses said to them, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord?" But the people thirsted there for water. And the people complained against Moses and said, "Why did you bring us out of Egypt to kill us and our children and livestock with thirst?" So Moses cried out to the Lord, "What shall I do with this people? They are almost ready to stone me." The Lord said to Moses, "Go on ahead of the people and take some of the elders of Israel with you. Take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile and go. I will be standing there in front of you on the rock of Horeb. Strike the rock and water will come out of it, so that the people may drink." Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. He called the place Massah and Meribah, because the Israelites quarreled and tested the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" Holy wisdom, holy word.
Thanks be to God.
Today's psalm is Psalm 95. You will find it on page 5 of your bulletin, and we will read it responsively. Come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout for joy to the rock of our salvation.
Let us come before God's presence with thanksgiving and raise a loud shout to the Lord's psalms.
For you, Lord, are a great God, and a great ruler above all gods.
In your hands are the caverns of the earth. The heights of the hills are also yours.
The sea is yours, for you made it, and your hands have molded the dry land.
Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker.
For the Lord is our God, and we are the people of God's pasture, and the sheep of God's hand. Oh, that today you would hear God's voice.
Harden not your hearts, as in Meribah, as on the day of Massah in the desert.
There your ancestors tested me. They put me to the test, though they had seen my works.
40 years I loathed that generation, saying, "The heart of this people goes astray. They do not know my ways."
Indeed, I swore in my anger, they shall never come to my rest. Our second reading is from Paul's letter to the Romans, starting at chapter 4, 1. Since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand. And we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Indeed, rarely will anyone die for a righteous person. So perhaps for a good person, someone might actually dare to die. But God proves his love for us in that while we still were sinners, Christ died for us. Much more surely then, now that we have been justified by his blood, will we be saved through him from the wrath of God? For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more surely have been reconciled while we have been saved by his life. But more than that, we even boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, to whom we have now received reconciliation. Holy wisdom, holy word.
Thanks be to God.
Gospel according to St. John, the fourth chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
This is a long reading. There's no shame if anyone wants to sit down. Jesus came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired out by his journey, was sitting by the well. And it was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone into the city to buy food. And the Samaritan woman said to him, "How is that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria? For Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have no bucket, and this well is deep. Where do you get this living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us this well, and with his sons and his flock who drank from it?" Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Go call your husband and come back." Then the woman answered, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying I have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you say that the place where people must worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming, and it is now here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father seeks such as these to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth." And the woman said to him, "I know the Messiah is coming." Then the woman, who is the Christ, there's a gap in my text, but Jesus responds and says, "I am." Then the woman left her water jar and went back into the city. And she said to the people, "Come and see a man who told me everything I have ever done. He cannot be the Messiah, can he?" They left the city and went on their way to him. And many Samaritans from that city believed in him because of the woman's testimony. "He told me everything I have ever done." So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them. And he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, "It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world." This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Now we take a deep breath from that long reading. This is a tough text filled with a lot of symbolism. So the best way, I think, to get into this text this morning is with a little analogy. And I'll share with you one of our favorite family films that we watched with the kids. And it was the movie Shrek. I have some chuckles, so some people know this movie. This movie, of course, is a fairy tale. It has all the things you would normally think of in a fairy tale. They have the princess and the dragon, the shining prince in armor, the ogre. And the film itself even opens, like every other fairy tale does, with a book. First scene is a book opening. You hear the narration of this great fairy tale. The princess is in a tower, there's a dragon. But then Shrek steps in. And the rest of the film and the whole series is about reversals of expectations, because it's the ogre who is the good guy. It's the prince and the shining knight who are the bad guys. And we get the gingerbread man and the magic mirror, but but they're all upside down in terms of what we expect from our fairy tales. And our text this morning is like that. It has a certain form, and then it has a subversion of a form. So if I were to start a story and say there was a princess in a tower with a dragon and a knight, you would all immediately know what this story is about. It's about a knight who sees a prince, they get married, they live happily ever after. And my friends, this is exactly what happens in Scripture and in this ancient society if I were to tell you a man meets a woman at a well. This is an ancient fairy tale-like story. And it goes something like this. A man journeys on a long journey into a dangerous area. He's thirsty. He stops at a well. Then a woman appears. He asks her for a drink. She gives him a drink. They have a conversation. They figure out that they indeed have a clan connection. She runs off to her family and says, I met this guy at a well. Family comes. They invite him in for supper. And then there's a wedding. And this occurs over and over and over again in Scripture. And if you are reading the Bible or are listening to an ancient story from this time frame, just like if I say a woman and a dragon and a knight, if I say a woman, a man, and a woman at a well, you would know what the story is about. It's going to be about an engagement. And John sets this up for us in the fourth chapter of his gospel. Notice Jesus is on a journey into a dangerous land, the land of Samaritans. Jews and Samaritans at this point in time had a dislike at best, and open hostility and warfare at the worst. You don't travel into this area alone, but Jesus must. Our text tells us he must go. Pulled, driven by the Spirit, he must go here. And he stops on his journey by a well in the bright of daylight. And there a woman appears. And so, like that first opening scene in Shrek, we as a reader and as a hearer already know what to expect. He's going to ask her for a drink. And he does. But now, our story starts to get subverted. It gets turned on its head. Because it's no longer the same story. Because now Jesus will say to her, if you knew who I was, you would ask me for a drink. And now it's Jesus offering the drink to her. And of course, Jesus is no longer talking about real water now. And there's a connection with our reading from last week, two conversations on different planes. And just like Nicodemus is puzzled last week trying to figure out how he can crawl back into a mother's womb, this Samaritan woman is shocked and mocks Jesus because you don't even have a bucket. This well is deep. You can't get it. How in the world are you saying that you're going to give me a drink? And as this new comedic routine goes, Jesus says a few other things, and now this woman is starting to at least be intrigued by this possibility of a water that quenches you forever. And so she relents. Give me this water. She realizes that this is a gift. Give it to me. And Jesus rightly goes, again interrupting the story, go get your husband. Well, I have no husband. So again, maybe this might lead to a marriage. But Jesus points out, you've already had five husbands. And before we think critically about this, let us remember that marriage and a divorce in the ancient world was a prerogative of males only. This female character would have no agency in a divorce. The text is not indicating that this woman has loose morals. We import that into this text. We clearly just know through circumstances and time this person has had five husbands. We're not given any indication of any other thing. But in this recognition of the fact that Jesus knows this, she asks the question, are you a prophet? And if he's a prophet, the next thing you come to is the theological question. Because you must ask the prophet a theological question. Where do we worship? And here is the point in the text that all of our text revolves around. Much like last week was being born again. This week, it is you will worship God in spirit and in truth. Spirit and in truth today is the same meaning from last week of being born from this water, this spirit, pours forth from God to us as a gift, which enables us to worship God in spirit and in truth. And our woman at the well is intrigued by this. She's going to run to tell her family, we're going to get the rest of our woman at the well, typical story, but she asks one more question. I know the Messiah is coming. And Jesus answers, I am. I am. This is the name of God. The name God reveals to Moses in the burning bush. Tell Pharaoh, I am, is who sent you. Our story is subverted, friends. This is no longer a man and a woman at a well, but a woman with an encounter with God, who then leaves the moment of the encounter to her community, to bring her community to experience God. In Scripture, we are given this image, a metaphor of marriage, that Christ is married to the church. We speak of intimacy, of union with God. You have this union with God. This is what our text is about today. We don't have this union because of where we go, where we worship, even who we are. It's not a Jew, it's not a Samaritan that makes you close to God, but God who comes down with the gift of flowing water and life to us. This is why Paul writes through through Christ, we have obtained this access to this gift in which we stand. And we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. Dear friends, this story is about our journey and our union of encountering God and the gift of God poured out. God, who has entered the world in Christ, suffered and died for us, rose again so that we can partake in this new life. And Martin Luther will write about this. For through faith, we are so intimately united with Christ that we are not only one with him, but he is ours and we are his. Therefore, the apostle says, he who is united to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. And you are in this way so closely united with Christ that even though he is in heaven and you are in earth, you are nevertheless not only with him, but in him. In Christ, this is our journey. We are united to God. This is the feast we celebrate, the water that brings us here. And this is our Lenten journey today, to remember, to celebrate, to be who you are without any thought of becoming that. For we are saved, we are loved, we are held close. Amen.
Thank you.
Sustained by God's abundant mercy, let us pray for the church, the world, and all of creation. We pray for your church. Bless partnerships with other Christians and interreligious dialogue. Guide the daily work of denominational and congregational leaders. Strengthen our combined witness for the sake of the gospel, that all experience your life-giving love. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
We pray for the universe, all creation teems with life, from the depth of the earth and seas to the skies above. Fill us with awe and reverence for the diversity and preservation of life. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
We pray for the nations of the world. Topple the dividing walls that separate us from our neighbors. Form us into your beloved community, where diversity and gender, race, language, ability, and ethnic origin is celebrated and affirmed. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
We pray for those who suffer in mind, body, and spirit. Be present with all who are lonely, and give courage to all who are afraid. Comfort those who live with chronic illness or other sicknesses, especially Leif, Aaron, Reg, Mariah, Jane, Kevin, Mike, Jim, Kelly, Joe, Clifford, Jim, Nicole, Madeline, Era, Kevin, Barry, Sandy, Rhonda, victims of the war in Ukraine, earthquake in Turkey and Syria, and people of Furlan Lutheran Church. Give them your living water, always. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
We pray for this congregation, especially those preparing for baptism. Nurture their faith and pour your love into their hearts. Inspire our community by their testimony to God's grace in their lives. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
We give thanks for the lives of all your saints, especially Gregory the Great, whom we commemorate today. Their hope in you sustained lives of faith and service. Encourage us with the hope they shared in you. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
We lift our prayers to you, O God, trusting in your steadfast love and your promise to renew your whole creation. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior.
Amen.
The peace of Christ be with you all.
And also with you. I
invite you now to share the peace of Christ with those around you.
Thank you.
Please stand if you are able. Let us prepare ourselves for the great feast. Praise to you for the death and resurrection of Christ. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to the disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in the remembrance of me." And again after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me." And with this bread and cup, we remember our Lord's Passover from death to life, and we proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again.
O God of resurrection and new life, pour out your Holy Spirit on us and on these gifts of bread and wine. Bless this feast, grace our table with your presence.
Holy Spirit.
Reveal yourself to us in the breaking of bread. Raise us up as the body of Christ for the world. Breathe new life into us. Send us forth burning with justice, peace, and love. And gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Let us pray. Embodied God, at your table we have tasted the goodness of Jesus. With the eyes of our heart open to your promise, empower us to hear the need of our neighbors and touch the world you love.
Amen.
Now we'd like to open up the floor for announcements. Anyone that has an announcement, and I know that Marion has one starting things off.
Okay, so next Sunday, we all need to remember that it's a very important day for us here at Atonement. Following the service, we will hold a congregational meeting with a ballot vote to issue a call to Pastor John. And we will also do a vote to approve the compensation package. Attendees on Zoom will be able to vote. If you have any questions regarding this, feel free to talk with me. Make sure, though, that you come and participate, because we do have to reach a certain number, a certain percentage of the congregation in order to have the vote count. So I look forward to seeing you all next Sunday.
Jennings from the Social Ministry Committee. I've been in touch with the folks at Samaritan House and wanted to share with you some of their needs. One thing that they need right now for their families are diapers, disposable diapers, size 1 to 5, and pull-up diapers, size 5-6. Diapers have become very expensive, and people who live at Samaritan House, as you know, are homeless families rising up out of homelessness, so every penny counts. So if you'd like to buy diapers for the families at Samaritan House, please just leave them in the cart in the narthex, and we will get them there, or you can drop them off at Samaritan House. And we thought we'd run this diaper drive through the end of April, so anytime in that time period. Also, Samaritan House, in conjunction with the Children's Advocacy Center, is doing their annual gala as they used to do. It's a dinner and music and dancing and an auction. And the funds go to support Samaritan House Children's Advocacy Center. In the past, it's always been a way that Samaritan House raised a great deal of money. Their tickets are now on sale online. You can buy individual tickets, or in the past, sometimes the groups from Atonement got together and bought a whole table, which is 8 tickets, and shared a table together. So I'll put this up on the bulletin board in the narthex because it has the link to where tickets can be sold. And the third, or bought, and the third thing about Samaritan House is that we're going to do a $50 gift card to each family at Samaritan House right at Easter to help them with having a happy Easter and a good meal that day, and basically help them provide food for their family at that time. So if you'd like to donate towards the $50 gift card, just put Easter food basket on the memo line of your check. And thanks for all your support. You've been a real support to Samaritan House over the decades, and we hope to keep supporting them. Thank you.
For the last few weeks, you've noticed perhaps that Kevin Mason's name has been on our prayer list. He's donating a kidney to his cousin, Tommy Jr., as we call him. And that surgery is coming up on Thursday the 15th. So thank you for your prayers, and let's keep them going through the rest of the week. Thanks so much.
As an added special treat for service next Sunday, Alistair Cook, our violinist friend, will join us for the service. He'll play a prelude and a postlude and probably accompany us in the hymns. So I look forward to seeing all of you next Sunday.
Are there any more?
Just like to remind everyone, there is a symphony this afternoon at 2 o'clock. It's a Goodwill symphony, so it's a youth symphony, and they're supporting, and so I hope to see a lot of you here today.
Well, I have a few. I'll try to make them brief, though, so we're not overwhelmed with information. But next week, also, our synod will be with us, to journey with us, and they will also be here to make a presentation downstairs after service about reconciliation and reparations. We have a program that we can present, and we'll talk and have some honest reflections of our past. So you will be receiving some information about that discussion, some videos that they would like to for you to see. And please come to that discussion. It's not a beat-up session, but a session of an honesty of where we are, and where do we want to go, where we want the Spirit to lead us. And lunch, the most important part, lunch will be provided downstairs. Come, let's have a joyful Sunday and have some lunch and journey with our synod staff. Our youth and families will be meeting after service and after coffee hour downstairs. We've got the youth and symphony. And two more things, three more things. Goodness, that's a lot. But please join us. You're invited to join us this Saturday, the 18th at 1 p.m. for a memorial service for Joan and Jim McCauley. You'll have the service here. 1 p.m. on Saturday. You are all invited to that and to remember their lives and the celebration of that. adult forum for the next 2 weeks, we'll start looking at the Easter Vigil that's coming up here the second week in April. So if you would like to come and explore that service and the mystery surrounding this vigil of all vigils, you're invited to join us for the next 2 weeks downstairs, an hour o'clock before service starts. And finally, we just want to praise and let the congregation know that council will be meeting this Wednesday, and we will be discussing continuing mass requirements and what might that look like in the future. I know there's lots of questions about that. Maybe on Sunday I may or may not have a different direction. Hold us in our prayers as we consider and think about what comes next for the life of this community. Hopefully I didn't miss anything, but I'm done with announcements. So let's prepare ourselves for the benediction. May God, the giver of love, Christ, the resurrection and the life, and the Holy Spirit of rebirth, bless you in this Lenten journey. Amen.